If you're awed by this world and all its beauty, many stately mansions lately you may see. But without great wealth, I know I'll never own one. You won't either if you're no more rich than me. But if your eyes can look beyond what man is building, you can see what earthly mortals cannot see. For on the other side of Jordan, there's construction right now on a mansion being built for you and me. I said, wait till you see, just wait till you see my home. Wait till you see its beauty. Well, there is nothing it can't compare. Oh, I said, wait till you see, just wait till you see my home. My heavenly Father's building me. I'm gonna occupy for free. Wait till you see, just wait till you see my home. Well, my new home will not be set upon a foundation that is man-made and will someday pass away. And it won't be built where the winds of life can batter and where storm clouds hide the light of day. Up there, the cornerstone of God is my foundation, the root of David, Christ the Lord, my soon coming King. What a mansion, what a homecoming awaits me over there, and I'm expecting any day just to move on in. And I said, wait till you see, my home. Heavenly Father's building me. I'm gonna occupy for free. Wait till you see, just wait till you see my home. Gonna occupy for free. Just wait, you see. Just wait, you see my home. Wait, you see my new home. Just wait, you see. Just wait, you see my home.
Amen. It is good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. Now, this is going to be something like you have never seen before here at Calvary, because this morning is going to be homecoming / Gaither reunion. Amen. Y'all have all seen that on TV, hadn't you? Raise your hand if you've seen the Gaither. Yeah. Going to be a lot like that today, because normally what we would do would be bring in this big old group on a bus. So what we're going to do is we're going to rent a bus, and we're going to put the choir on it and run around town a few times to come back. We're going to be the big old bus. Yeah, we're going to be the big group. No joke, this is going to be a little bit different today, but we're very excited about it. You're going to see and hear some talent today that you haven't normally seen. We're excited, and we look forward to it. And we're not here to put on a show by any means. We just want to worship together. You are going to hear some different talent today, And we're going to ask you, if you will, just to remember the choir, remember the talent in prayer, and let's go to worship together. And that's why we're here. Amen? We do realize one thing. We stand between you and food. So we're going to try our best to keep it on track. We've got a great guest speaker today, and you probably already know who that is. But we'll hear a little bit more about that here in a few moments. But we also, now, for everybody that's here, y'all think it's homecoming. But there's one person that thinks we all got together for her birthday today, Miss Jackie's birthday. And we got together, and we've got this big meal planned downstairs. Just let her believe that. Amen? Jackie Roberts, her birthday. Amen. Jackie, I've called her Jackie Roberts for so long. I've called her Jackie Roberts for so long. Sorry about that, Brother Jack. But,
he's down there.
Is he here?
He's down there.
He don't know no different. Oh, wait, he's got a gun. I'm just kidding.
Jack still have to take her out.
Yes.
But
Alan,
it is Miss Jackie's birthday.
Yeah. Birthday today.
Who's that?
Prince Harry's birthday is today.
All right. Tomorrow is also my beautiful wife's birthday, and she's with me this morning. But it is great to have you here at Calvary Homecoming 2019. Without further ado, Pastor, do you have a word?
First of all, again, thank everybody for coming, and it's a wonderful time together. We're going to omit several things we've been praying about. Not because of negligence, but we do want to mention just a couple of things for you to pray before we move forward in the service this morning. This past week, we've sent on two of our church members, or at least one of them was a church member. Morgan Tuck went home to be with the Lord earlier this week, this past week, and then Brother Ceylon's mother went home to be with the Lord. And so please pray for these two families during this time. And you know, it's homecoming, but there's going to be another homecoming there one day whenever we reach the other side. And so let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. And we've taken the time to come, and everybody's dressed up and ready to worship, I hope. So let's do that and see what the Lord may have for us this morning. Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. And Lord, I'm thankful for those who've come this morning, and Father, to see familiar faces, and Lord, just to hear the songs of Zion being sung, Lord, from your people is a tremendous blessing. Father, we do pray for those who have sent loved ones home to heaven, Brother Ceylon and his family, John and Betty. Lord, we pray for them during this time. I know that their mother is ultimately healed, and she's in heaven with her Savior, but there's going to be that empty place at the table. The same for Morgan Tuck, that empty place at the table. And Father, we just pray that your continual grace and mercy be bestowed upon them. Father, as they live life, anticipating that reunion day, we pray that you'd be with us this morning in a mighty way. Touch the singing. And Father, when it comes time for the Word of God to be brought forth, I pray for Brother Snyder that you bless him. Use him like you have down through the years. But Father, use him this morning is our prayer. We love you. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
For many years, my father-in-law, Brother Ford Berry, was a DJ at WDCY Radio, 1520 on the dial. And every morning, I would try my best to turn in to that station. And he would say this phrase, and I'll never forget it. He would say, "You're about to hear some of the greatest music this side of heaven." Many of you might remember that. This morning, Brother Ceylon and I were speaking just for a few moments, and he said, "I wouldn't bring Mother back for anything, because this morning she is enjoying music with the angels." That's where Brother Ford is today, but Miss Betty is here with us this morning, and I know that she heard that phrase many times, and our prayer is that you might hear some music today that might remind you of some songs such as that today What a day it's going to be when we get to the other side. What a homecoming that's going to be. But you enjoy the music this morning. I'm going to ask Miss Shirley if she'll come down. You pray for her this morning. She'll sing a song that I'm sure that you're familiar with. And the choir's going to back her up on a song that says that He is the God on the mountain.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But then things change and you're down in the valley. Don't You are never alone. At its best, it's down in the valley with trials and temptations. That's when faith is really put to the
to Calvary, and I stand here with my daughter and my friends, and I'm so thankful that at the age of 6, Miss Glenda came, she came to Calvary, and I look at Lily, my daughter, she came to know the Lord when she was 7 years old, and I look at Miss Amanda, she came to know the Lord when she was 16, and Lauren when she was 20, and I'm so thankful that at age 17, the Lord saved my soul. I'm so thankful this morning that the home I grew up in, Well, my stepfather, I'm so thankful that when he didn't want me and he whispered that my father didn't want me either, that my heavenly father wanted me.
Yes.
And I'm so thankful for my great-grandmother, Lillian Hauser, who showed me the love of God. And I'm just so thankful this morning that we've all been to Calvary.
Sitting for a few moments. Here's what I want to do. Let's let everyone stand in the building. Choir, you can go ahead and stand with me as well. And I want to let the guys play. How about turn over to page number 393? page 393, says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. Amen? Oh, that was weak. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. Amen?
Amen.
That's better. Yes, now you're awake. That's why I want you to stand up. All right? And I want you to go to around to some folks that you haven't seen in some time. Shake hands with about 10 or 12 people. Tell them it's good to see them in the house of the Lord. Just have a little bit of welcome time. And let's just fellowship for a few moments. I want the musicians to play. We got some of the greatest musicians ever. Amen?
Amen.
Give them a round of applause. I'm thankful for our musicians. Praise the Lord. They do a tremendous job week in, week out, and I'm thankful for them. I want to go ahead and let them shine for a few moments. You guys play a couple of verses. Y'all fellowship for a little while, and we'll come back and take up an offering. There you go. To do in the house of the Lord this morning. We're going to take up an offering right quick, and then we'll get back to some good singing. Please remember that we have no evening service tonight, but please don't leave this morning without going downstairs to the fellowship hall. We have a great time of fellowship. We have a lot of food downstairs, and everyone is welcome. There's plenty of food for everyone. You say, well, I didn't bring anything. Did you bring an appetite? If you got an appetite, you are welcome. So please come. We'd love to have you. If you're visiting with us, you are our special guest. And we have plenty of food. And we look forward to sharing some time of fellowship with you downstairs immediately following the morning service. Again, no service tonight. We'll see you back on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock for Bible studying and prayer meeting. Please remember that tomorrow evening, what's the times again, Brother Ceylon, tomorrow evening? 5 till 8 tomorrow at West Cobb, and the service is at 11 o'clock Tuesday. So please remember that, Brother Ceylon's mother. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. ask God's blessing on the offering and the service this morning. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit that we feel in the house of the Lord this morning. Lord, thank you for each one that is here today. Many are visiting with us, and Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you just fill this place. Lord, thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house. Lord, I pray now that you'd bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Lord, pray that you would be with those that might be going through a difficult time today. Lord, our prayer would be that someone would come to know you as the Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, that's a reason that we're here, Lord, and I pray that you would just touch their heart. Draw them, Lord, as the lady sang a few moments ago, to a place called Calvary spiritually today, that they might come to know you as Savior. Lord, I pray that maybe we'll just be drawn a little closer to you. Again, accept our worship and our praise. Be with Brother Snyder in a few moments as he comes to preach your word. Be with everyone that will sing this morning. Again, be with us. Touch the offering now. We'll praise you. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Several years ago, I was called to speak at a funeral service of a family that I had no idea who they were. I get a lot of those calls, unfortunately, working at a funeral home. And they had called me and said, "We don't have a preacher. Would you please come and take care of the ceremony for us?" And I said, "I'd be glad to." I went over and met with the family the day before, and that day I walked in and I was sitting and waiting for the service to begin. At that time, our church was looking for a pianist. And there was a gentleman sitting over on the piano and he was playing, and I thought, oh, God. Oh, it's a divine appointment. Surely, Lord, you brought me to this place for a reason. But I thought, surely with someone as talented as this young man, I'm sure he's playing for a church somewhere or a group somewhere. We talked for a few moments after the service that day, and he said, no, he said, here's my phone number. Call me sometime. I couldn't get to the car fast enough. I called him right away. And I think he met Brother Snyder that day, if I'm not mistaken. You think I'm a vulture? He was on him before. But he is a very talented musician, but he's also a very talented singer and has a heart for God. And we are very blessed to have him, Mr. David Barker.
I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as his grace rolled down around me undeserved. God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and his love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything he is. Best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good.
the ministries that take place in this church take place behind the pulpit or on the stage or in the choir. Many of them take place downstairs working with our children. And we have a lot of talent here that goes unseen, but they still have a great deal of talent. And I'm going to ask Jeff Hodges if he'll come around and share a song with us this morning. And he works with our children, and you will enjoy this morning a song. And again, he does a tremendous job. He's a great musician. And you sit back and enjoy the song this morning. Jeff Hodges.
Taken to Calvary. You're going to be taken to the foot of the cross a little later, sometime. And I would like to take you to the, do the same thing and take you to that old rugged cross.
Do ministries not take place here on the stage? Many of those ministries don't even take place inside this church. We have a great deal of talent that runs all over the roads, up and down the roads, ministering. Brother Brian's our youth minister, and they do a tremendous job at the home. Brother Alan Young pastors a church outside of here and comes to be with us a lot on Sunday evenings. But one of our greatest talents is unable to even sing in the choir because she's gone and she's ministering to the kids at the home, Miss Melita Busby.
I do want to thank the Lord for saving my soul. I truly do not believe in coincidence. My mother never said there was never anything like coincidence, but there is a theme here this morning, Brother David singing, and I do believe that God is good. I do know, however, that sometimes life can really hit us with some heavy blows, and we can begin to think that life is not so good. And I've often felt that way through the loss of my brother and both of my parents. But this week, Brian found this song, and maybe it's God ordained. I know that I won't do it justice, but this past couple of weeks when Miss Dolores lost her daughter, I thought to myself, I went to her and I said, I don't have words to say. And as kindly as she knew how, she said, you're right, you don't. You've not experienced this type of loss. And I immediately dropped my head and I while I was practicing this song, Miss Dolores and Brother Leonard were in my heart, and Glenda and David, Pat and Johnny, Pam and Jerry Moss, and even Taylor and Aaron, who the minute that God put that child in her stomach, to her that was just as much of a baby as Dolores' daughter Sharon. And I have not experienced that type of loss, and I'm no better than anybody else, but I do pray that this morning this song will minister to those people, to all of you. I don't know why I get more nervous at Calvary than I do anywhere else singing, but I just pray that it will be a blessing to you this morning. A thousand times I've heard it as a shout of praise. Three little words sung with joy from someone so amazed. But every now and then I hear it from a broken heart of faith, spoken with a whisper as tears are wiped away, and it stills my breath to hear them say, God is good, God is good. When life doesn't go like we wish it would, He'll always be what He's always been. That is understood, and always, 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 God is good. Standing in the darkness, the fear is what they feel. They testify to a faith that's settled and it's real. 'Cause when calm turns into chaos, peace is stronger than the pain. Knowing they are held by a God who doesn't change, and this simple truth still remains. God is good. God is good. When life doesn't go like we wish it would, He'll always be what He's always been. That is understood, and always, 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 God is good. God is good. Yes, when life doesn't go like we wish it would, He'll always be what He's always been. That is understood, and always, 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 God is good.
Thank you. I have journeyed through the long dark night out on the open sea. By faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me, and the anchor, though the ship is battered. Though the sails are torn, I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions, and I've had dreams. I've even held them in my hand. But I never knew those dreams could slip right through like they were only grains of sand. But the anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging sea, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. Now I have been young and I'm older now. Oh, there has been beauty these eyes have seen, but it was in the night I fought the storms of my life. And that's where God proved his love to me. Cause the anchor when my ship is battered, the anchor holds when my sails are torn. I have fallen down on my knees as I fail raging sea, but the anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have fallen. the anchor holds in spite of the storm.
Another ministry that you hardly ever see takes place just in the back corner of our church. That's the ministry that takes place in the sound room. Amen. Dwayne Swan taught me years ago, he said, if you ever know I'm back there, I'm not doing my job. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You hardly ever know he's back there, but he does a tremendous job. He also has much talent. He traveled around with us for many years, singing and playing. We had a group travel on the road for about 15 years as Calvary's Grace. And I love him. We've ministered together a long time. He has a great, great heart for God, does a great job. He has a great talent. Would you please make welcome this morning, Brother Randy Maddox.
I'd like to say before I try to sing this, it's been a while since I've done this one, I'm just being honest with you. But Brother Allen asked me the other day, he said, would you think about doing a song for us on homecoming? And just as soon as he mentioned that, this song came to my mind. And I'll be honest with you, I had to dig around for the last week trying to find the track to even do today. But I want y'all to pray for me, Dave, and I hope this will be a blessing to you. It's a song that ministers deep to my heart, and I hope you enjoy it this morning. My name is Bartimaeus, and no one cares if I live or die. All day long I just sit here begging, while the people, they just walk on by. But today, I heard someone whispering. They said that Jesus, he was passing through. You know, I heard that he healed the blind man. And I wonder, could it be? Oh, but wait, he's coming closer now. Would he hear this blind man's cry? It is now or it is never. I may not make it, but I must try. What's that I'm feeling now? Someone's hand is on my breath, and I feel power. And now he speaks to me, says I am free, and now I see Jesus, the living Savior, the King of glory, thou Son of David.
just tell somebody, tell somebody, tell somebody. One touch, it made my eyes to see. It gave me life to be. Now I must tell somebody.
Disciples were gathered in an upper room. Their world was sealed up in a garden tomb. But there in the darkness, they were so afraid, unsure of tomorrow and what they would face. 'Cause on Friday, Savior died on a cross. Saturday it seemed like all hope was lost, but soon there would be cause for rejoicing, 'cause everything changed. Not one could remember the promise he made, that he'd lay his life down. But in just 3 days, the grave would surrender in total defeat. Yet death would be swallowed up in victory. Just 3 days ago, on Friday, the Savior died on a cross. Saturday, it seemed like all hope was lost. I didn't say anything before the song because I knew if I started crying, I wouldn't be able to sing it, and I still ended up crying, but that's okay. When God touches your heart and He breaks it, it's because He loves you so much. We've talked about how God is good, and He is. He is so marvelous. But we have to realize it day after day, minute by minute. Because if we don't focus on Him, we forget sometimes just how good He really is. So we all just, I'm just so thankful that that Sunday morning did come. Because of that, we all had a chance and still have a chance to accept Him as our Lord and Savior.
Making you
Said something about breaking bread. I'm gonna have to hurry. Y'all be ready to eat. See what I mean?
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even through the valley lows and the mountains high, God is still good, and he's always with us, even in the valley.
High upon this mountain, the sun is shining bright. My heart is filled with sadness here above the cares of life. But I've just come through the valley of trouble, fear, and pain. It was there I came to know my God enough to stand and say, even in the valley, God is good. Even in the valley, he is faithful and true. He carries his children through like he said he would. Even in the valley, God is good.
To a valley of defeat. You wonder if the Father has heard your desperate plea. There is hope in that rugged place where tears of sorrow dwell.
Can't you hear him gently whispering, I'm here, and all is well.
He was in a bad predicament between you and downstairs. Let me get you to do something real quick. It's been a few moments since you stood. Just stand up very, very briefly. Just cooperate with me. If you're able to, and you will, stand up just for a second. Kind of stretch a little bit. Here's what I want you to do. Turn to the person beside you, please. Turn to the person beside you and say, I hope he doesn't preach long.
I hope you don't preach long.
I hold on to. Hey, just in case, just a place. Thank you. You can be seated. Morty said he hoped I didn't either, so I'm sending him out to go ahead and fix me and him a plate. And what a delight it is for me to be back here in Marcia as well. And it's just, it's always a thrill. I'm always honored when the pastor asks me to come and to share in his pulpit. And it's been a great time. I want to thank you, and I'm going to be very, I try to be very quick if I can, but I want you to know just how deeply our family appreciates the kindness that you showed Morgan Tuck. We call him Pa. And I want to tell you, he said to me one time, he said, I had never known a church could be so loving. You took him in. You didn't have to. He was he could be a little salty at times because that's just the way he was raised. He meant nothing by it, but he was precious. He still spoke. One of the last things he and I spoke about when I was in the hospital, one of the last things he spoke about was the baptism at Joe and Lynn's. And he talked about how special that was and what that meant to him. He said a lot of interesting things to me, a lot of good things. I want to take one that I can share in church. And but what he, no, he wasn't that way. I was just kidding. He just said stuff, and he did. It just was very natural to him. He meant nothing by it. We went to, in the grand scheme of things, a little bit of trouble to get the baptism. And Joe and Lynn, he told me, he said, I thought you said I was supposed to be baptized. Well, I was trying to be considerate of his age and his health, you know, and I was trying to say, well, we're going to give you a special dispensation of grace on this. And he said, well, if I'm supposed to do it, let's do it. And I said, well, all right, but we can't get you in that baptistry up there. You know, you have to have somebody helping you and practically carrying. And so I asked Joe and Lynn if they would, and man, they were all over it. They were thrilled to let that happen. And on a Sunday evening, our church went over there. We had our service there. It was precious. I mean, just precious. And Paul stood there and he just watched and he looked at everything. He would just take everything in. And you have to understand, it was all new to him. He just wasn't raised in a church, and certainly not the kind of church that counted. And so we got him in there. I think Joe and David and I don't even, Tom maybe helped me get him in the water. Y'all brought him in the water. And so I did the baptism, and I brought him up and wiped his face off, and he looked at me and he said, that's it? I said, no, you're going back. He said, that's it? He said, all of this for this? I said, absolutely, that's what that's. Hey, turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of the Lamentations of Jeremiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, a little book tucked in right behind him. And just, if you get to Ezekiel, turn left and go one cul-de-sac. And you'll be there at Lamentations. I have been trying to think, and again, on behalf of Tom and Benita, Lee, and for our family, one of the things someone asked me about a service, they're going to take him back to some place in North Carolina, Chuckawinity or something. I don't know how to say it necessarily, but that's where he's from. It's where his wife is buried. And so they're going to go up there and have a little something for them up there as soon as Tom's son and daughter-in-law gets back in from out of town. But it actually worked out that at Tranquility, we were over there, and we just had a little service there, and spoke a little, you know, said a few words, and then God blessed us, and it was a special time. He was loved. He was deeply, deeply loved. Now, we hear a lot. You know, interestingly enough, I've been paying attention to the songs that have been offered this morning, and interestingly enough, they're not your typical homecoming songs. I mean, generally homecoming is, let's go to heaven one day and get our wings and sandals and we're going to be great and everything is going to be awesome and we're going to have a wonderful time forever. And those, you know, and it's exciting to think about the excitement of heaven. However, today has had a little bit of a different bent to it. And that is speaking about how God is good and that He's the God of the mountain, just like He's the God of the valley. and thinking about the anchor holds. There is a reason that the anchor holds is so meaningful to this church. And it's not because I sing it. It's because of the words contained within it. Because there's a lot of people in Calvary and other churches, there's a lot of people who are going through times that they feel blown about, knocked about, and hit all over the place. And so we take these moments and we stop and we reflect on the goodness of God and how God loves us and the good grace of God. And those times of reconnecting, refocusing, allow us to feel like we're grounded, that we're anchored again. Doesn't always change the storm. Doesn't make the storm go away. In fact, rarely does it do that. However, and to prove my point, chapter 1 of Lamentations is about Jerusalem's desolation. Chapter 2 is about God's judgment. Chapter 4 is about God's anger. And chapter 5 is about the repentance of the remnant. Tucked absolutely dead center in the middle of that is chapter 3. That's where I want you to go. Because one of the things that we come to believe sometimes is when I get banged up and hit by these storms that come my way, once I decide to kind of refocus, redirect, reconnect with God, then stand by and watch everything get better suddenly and simply just turns right. If you've been saved over 15 minutes, you know better than that. You know better than that. We've been watching the news and we hear about all these storms, Dorian coming out, and we hear all these hurricanes. And it talks, I'm always interested, it says, this is the hurricane season. These things come. You have learned in your life, you have learned that there are seasons that you go through that it seems like no matter what you do, when you and you get hit in the face with something. And then it seems like you know more than get that one resolved until another one comes. And you just have these tsunamis of struggles and battles that keep coming at us. And then we seem to break clear for a little while. And things seem to level out for us. And we think, well, maybe we have turned the corner on this thing. Maybe things are going to be better. Maybe things now will start working out for me. And then we read the next sentence. And we understand that if your walk with God, the enjoyment of your walk with God is built upon the conditions that come your way, you're going to be on a roller coaster ride that is going to drive you crazy. It will drive you crazy. Because if you expect, see, the great struggle that we have is when we try to connect what we believe about God and what we see God doing. And when we see, sometimes we feel like He's not doing anything. Jeremiah felt that way. And so in this passage, we talk about these storms. See, some storms come in and they blow over like whatever the one is out there now. These things come by and they may just go by and just kind of, they just keep going. Others come like Dorian and just camp out a while. And you have to be able to adapt to either one and both of those. Because hurricane season isn't just the ones that come and stay the whole time, nor is it those who blow by and just give you a little peck on the cheek and keep going. It's not either of those entirely. It is a combination of all the storms, all the struggles, all the difficulties, all the workings of the climate and all this kind of stuff and how the weather and the water, and it all works together. And the next thing you know, we end up facing things we prefer not to face. Let me tell you something. Life is precisely the same way. It is precisely the story of Judah, Jerusalem, in Lamentations, is absolutely the story of America today. The way they were dealing with. Now, I wanted to go back and walk you through a little bit of this. Mine or yours? Well, It's yours. Here, let me put it back. There, man, okay, it's yours. It's full again. Good Lord. It's full again. Sorry. I want to say on my last visit to Calvary, I'll never be back. He won't let me come back. I like that. But anyway, I don't have time to go back. I wanted to pick out some verses. Let me encourage you. It's not light reading. It's not something you read if you want to be encouraged, chapter 1 and chapter 2. But what happens when Jeremiah is talking, he uses interchangeably the word I and the word we. He identifies with the nation of Israel because he lives there and he's going through it. But he also associates the personal side of those struggles. When somebody that we care about, when our church goes through a dry time, a difficult struggle, those who are invested in the church, those who love the church, they are affected by that. It touches them on levels deeper than just hanging out here on a Sunday. They care about it. But they're also the ones who rejoice more fully when the good grace of God breaks loose in the place. They're able to rejoice on a level deeper. They reach further in their testimony. They pray stronger prayers. They pray bolder prayers. They're drawn to the Word of God. Well, Jeremiah is kind of going through that same thing as we go through this. Well, what storms come into your life? What storms do you face? Well, there's probably as many storms as there are families here. But you think, number one, we get these storms mostly in our families. That's probably the worst. That gets our attention, especially if it's our children. You look, as Brother Justin said a while ago, about those who have lost loved ones here and that the struggles that they've had. And what that's brought into their lives and how those things are very genuine. And there's nothing that people can say. I had a dear friend that had someone pass away. And he said, I don't understand why. It just doesn't make sense. There's so many other people out there that deserve this sickness more. Now, he was being very sincere. He wasn't trying to be flippant. And I asked him this, let me just ask you one question. You've just lost a dear loved one. What in the world could anybody say to you that would cause you to say, oh, okay, well, I'm glad they're gone then? There's nothing. Some things don't have an answer on this side. They just don't. You won't find an answer. And you will waste an enormous amount of your spiritual life trying to answer questions that are designed to be built for the sole purpose of trust and faith and us walking with God until one day we stand in His presence. Now, let me give you this. There's different types of Christians. Number one, there are those who, and I know a lot of these, perhaps you do, they're just trying to survive. They're just trying to get by. Their goal when they get up in the morning is to make it back home at night. That is it. They have no goals beyond that. I told both of my boys when they started driving, and they're both here and they can confirm it. I told both of them when they started driving, I want you to understand, the goal of every person on this highway is to kill you. I believe you ought to be optimistic about it. I said, your goal is to get back home. That's about as quick as I could sum it up. But I wanted to be aware of the dangers without feeling like they had to stay home all the time. You can't help but socialize, expose yourself to these things. They're just going to come. And if you wring your hands, if we're always battling and questioning and wondering and doubting, you lose the opportunity to let God do something meaningful in your life
And if you want to know what real spiritual blessings are, you connect with God on a deep and, as I said, meaningful level in the middle of one of your storms. You come to see Him in the way that only He can present Himself, in a way that only He can present Himself to you personally, and you will be forever changed in your understanding of how God works. You'll be forever changed because you will have seen it come alive in you personally. When it happens to you, if you learn a verse of Scripture because the pastor tells you, good for you, you've learned it. But if you learn the truth of a verse because you studied it, you'll never forget it. You'll never And God opens up something to you, it becomes even more meaningful. It's our family, it's our faith, it's our finances. These storms come. In our future, our health, our jobs, it just goes on and on. But there's those who are just trying to get by. Are they Christians? Yeah, the Christians say they are. They have nothing meaningful in their life that would indicate they're a Christian. They can go weeks and never pick their Bible up. In fact, the only mention you'll get out of a lot of them, about the Word of God is when they start to leave on Sunday and they say, have you seen my Bible? I put it there last week. Those who try to get by. Then there are those who live by Christian principles without a meaningful relationship. They're moral people. They would no more do this or that or the other than anything in the world. But they're that way because they're moral people. It has more to do with their upbringing than in their relationship to Christ. And as a result of that, see, they have these principles. And they're highly offended by a violation of those personal principles by other people. Any kind of a violation of those principles is highly offensive unless they're the ones doing it. And then all of a sudden, it's, you know, you're legalistic for calling me out on it. But then there's that third group, Christian ones that's trying to live a meaningful relationship. I've used that word four times already. Meaningful relationship with God through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah is watching his country suffer the judgment of walking away from God. And the weight of that disappointment is shown in chapter 3. Now, I can't read them, but I want you to look. But let's read our text verse just in case we y'all walk out and go eat. Look at verse number 21. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. When you get there, say, got it. All right, hear the word of the Lord when he says, this I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Look at this. Great is thy faithfulness. Has that not been the theme of every single song that's been sung here today? Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope, there it is, in him again. Now look at verse 25, sums it up. The Lord is good unto them that do two things. Wait for him and to the soul that seeketh him. So let me give you this real quick. Now, look with me. Just back up very quickly. We won't read them, but I hope you'll go to at least pay attention. Number one, here's what has Jeremiah in a fit of depression. The nation of Israel is being judged. God has pronounced his judgment, and he is letting it come in chapter 2 and then in chapter 4. In chapter 3, it's almost like a parenthesis. Here's the story of the Lamentations, which is nothing more than a funeral dirge. It's a talk you give at a funeral. And that's what this is. There's this parenthetical chapter, chapter 3. And in this chapter, he says in verse number 4 that he's struggling with poor physical health. See if there's anything in here that rings a bell of truth to you. He says, my flesh and skin made me old. He's broken my bones. In verse 5, he speaks about the emotional stress in his life that all of this is creating on him. Look at all of these struggles. Look at verse number 5. You read it. I can't. But in verse number 5, in verse number 6, he even speaks about his own state of depression. The dark places that I am in. Verse number 7, he talks about feeling trapped. You ever felt that way? Ever felt like you couldn't breathe because you were just smothered by something or someone? Look at verse number in number 7. He says, he's hedged me about. I can't get out. And he has made my chain heavy. Look in verse number 8. Also, when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He's just simply not interested. He feels abandoned by God. You ever feel that way when you're going through a storm? You got a trial? You ever felt like, where in the world? You felt like I couldn't find God with a search warrant? Look at verse number 9. He's frustrated and he's confused. Verse number 10, he said, it all boils down to this. God's just simply against me. Now, who is this? This is the prophet of God. So if the prophet of God has these dilemmas and this struggle and this kind of a response, you remember when the Lord said, my soul is sorrowful unto death? That's Jesus talking. Jesus said this, the responsibility, that which awaits me, as much as I love the Father, as much as I love people, that there's no joy in the pain I'm going to get. The joy of the cross is on the other side of it. That's the joy of the cross. It's on the other side. So he says, then look, if you jump down real quick, you just keep looking. He sort of amplifies on that part. In verse number 17, he speaks of his anxiety and the sadness that he has experienced in his life. Verse number 18, he has a sense of helplessness and physical weakness. After a while of just getting one battle after getting thrown into one battle after another, you turn around and the next thing you know, you face all these difficulties, all these struggles. You are not only emotionally spent, you are physically beat. You're just beaten. You have no energy to do anything. And so what we do is that we make this decision, we're just going to pull away from church, pull away from God till I can get on my feet. Well, if you could get on your feet apart from God, why do you need him? The truth of the matter is, you can't. See, but in spite of everything, in verse number 21, he says, this is all I've been through. Verse 20, he says, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. He speaks about the afflictions in verse 19 and the wormwood. The wormwood was a bitter herb that absolutely ruined everything that it came into contact with. He said, every area of my life is touched by these problems, and it has created a general sense of bitterness in my life. The great danger of struggles and battles is allowing bitterness to work in. You can get over discouragement, but buddy, bitterness will stick to you like Lyme disease. I don't know why I thought of that. It just came to mind. Listen to what he says. But this I recall to mind. He said, in spite of all of this, here is the position I'm taking. He says that I recall to mind. He said, and when I change my thinking. He didn't say, listen, circumstances didn't change one iota. His circumstances did not change one iota. What changed? The way he perceived them, the way he confronted them, the way he went through them. When he redirected his sight from that which is... When did Peter get into trouble? When the Lord said, hey, come here, get off that boat. And he steps out and he walks on the water. He did pretty good for a while. When did he get in trouble? When he took his eyes off the Lord. What happened? He began to sink. He began to sink. See, when you allow the enemy to put so much stuff because you want something in your life. This is what I want. If I can get this, I'll be happy. And the enemy says, oh, really? Watch me create a little difficulty on you for getting that. And then all of a sudden, instead of getting aggravated at the enemy for stealing these things from you, we get aggravated at God for not giving us that which we think we are entitled to. And you live an entitled life, you're going to end up disappointed and discouraged there as well. It's like allowing God to put in your life that which He wants to work to fullness and bring to fruition so that God can do something that will cause you to understand what it means to walk and live in a way where God is in control of your life. And when that happens, you begin to be a witness to other people. You find a joy you didn't know. The Word of God begins to mean more to you than it did prior. All of a sudden, your prayer time is not a duty. It's something you're drawn to. And the next thing that happens in your life is that you begin to reframe your perspective about the things that come. Well, let me give you this. Kind of give you these real quick, and then we'll go eat. I don't want my buddy back here. Somebody give him a cookie. But in spite of everything, I love what the psalmist says. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. Let me give you this. I'm going to give you these. I'm just going to name them real quick. These things that you see right here about finding the calm in your storm. Finding the calm in your storm. Number one, in verse number 22, you must learn to trust God confidently. Remember what He's doing? He's remembering God's grace. In spite of all these winds and storms and hurricanes coming into his life, he says, wait a minute, let me stop a second. I know that storm is there, and let me redirect. Here is a man who had a ministry of 40 years of not one visible result. Most of us won't go 40 days without getting some kind of a benefit from it. 40 years, no real lasting change came as a result of this. Remember, he remembered. Here's what Jeremiah does. And these lessons of lamentations are pretty simple to me. He remembers God's grace. He says in there, verse 22, God's love never ends, His compassion never fails, and His faithfulness never changes. And when you can connect with that, if you can believe that, I don't mean some churchy little slogan. I don't mean another bumper sticker that says, we're not perfect, we're forgiven, so therefore we do what we want. I don't know if they do that or not, but the whole idea is that I will live in such a way that I expect God to keep all this stuff off of me. Yeah, hadn't that worked well for you? Hadn't that been a real successful prayer? He remembers God's grace. And the point is, learn to trust God confidently. That means trust His person. Don't trust He's going to give you something. He may and He may not. And what He may do for you is something that's not even visible. Secondly, verse number 23, He revives His spirit when He starts talking about, hey, listen, I'm going to redirect myself. There is a calm in this storm. He said, when I change the way I view things, He said, I have found hope. It is the Lord's. Listen to what He says. He says, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And then he just says, when he thinks about it, he just stops and he says, great is your faithfulness. Well, there's not one person in Jerusalem that would agree with him given the circumstance that they find themselves in right now. Faithfulness. The Babylonians have come in, they've taken us, they've ravaged our city, and we're talking about the faithfulness of God. Aren't we God's people? Yes. And as a result, God has responsibilities He puts on His people. But look, He revives His spirit. He stands, so number two, stand faithfully. When the storms come, don't let circumstances, don't let people, don't let things get between you and God that you can't fix anyway. Just trust God. Keep looking to God. Lean on God. Let God be who He is. When you get a card from somebody, what do they always write? Thank you for always being there. You get a card that says, thank you for always being. Every time I had a problem, you were always there. I always go, where? There. There where? Wherever a need was found in that person's life, anytime, any place, any circumstance. In other words, my affection to you has nothing to do with what you go through. My love for you has nothing to do with what you go through. I don't love you more because you're in good times. I don't love you less because you're in difficult times. God is exactly the same way. Never measure God's love. Never, ever try to measure God's love by what's going on in your life. I don't know why God is doing this. Here's your great, great approach. A lady told me one time, I don't know why God is doing this in my life. And all I ask was simply this, because this is what I try, when I hear this, what I try to think about. It's not to be cute. It's not to be funny. It's not to be critical. It's not to be arrogant. But I just simply ask her, what makes you think this is God? What in this makes you think this is God's hand doing this? Do you know what a lot of people, the vast majority, you know what they say? Well, I ain't been living like I should. I ain't been going to church. And they always relate it to what they ought to be doing for God. I don't think I have ever had anybody say, I guess there's a real lesson here for me to learn. Why is God doing this? Well, first of all, you need to get settled on the idea. Why do you think it's God? And if you come to the idea, if you do discover that it is God, you're well on your way to getting that thing resolved. If it's the cause of sin, you repent and you confess it and you're done with it. It's because he's trying to raise you to another level of service, then you go ahead and surrender to it. If he has a purpose for you, you meet that purpose. If he has a calling, you surrender to the calling. Why is God doing this? Thirdly, in verse number 24, look what he says. The Lord is my portion. What he's saying is this. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what he's saying. Everything I need, he is it. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Look, therefore, because he's all I need, because he sends to me that which I need, I hope in him. So what he's doing is he not only is reviving his spirit because he stands faithfully. In verse 24 and in verse 26, he hopes expectantly. This is not some wild pie in the sky kind of thing. Let God speak to your heart. Let God be real in your heart. Let me tell you this. He redirects, verse 24, he's redirecting the focus of his hope. I thought I could work this out. I thought we could handle this. No. Look to God. God may not change all of that. But what he will do is he will change that inside of you that'll help you to be able to withstand those things. Remember this. I've said it many, many times in this church. The first place you turn, the first person that you turn to, when you get broadsided with a problem, before you have time to get spiritual, that person, that thing, is the source of your strength. Because when the storm came, you defaulted to that immediately. Without taking time down. When you think, you go, well, I want to pray about it. We need to get church involved. You know, wherever you turn, when you get broadsided, when something hits you out of nowhere and you don't have time to act really spiritual, wherever you turn, right that first second, that's the source of your strength. Or you wouldn't be turning there. Does that make any sense? This is yes. This is no. Hope expectantly. Then let me finish. Verse number 25, let me look at that real quick. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him and the soul that seeks him. He regains his focus. So in this, what he's done, he remembers God's grace. He revives his spirit. He redirects his hope. He regains his focus. And then what he's doing, he says, there's two ways for me to stay focused on God. Wait patiently because God is in control, and seek earnestly because God has something he wants to do in this. God's waiting on our surrender. And then lastly, jump over with me if you would. You can read all, it goes on and on and on, these verses. Look at verse number 40. I don't have time to do the other stuff. Verse number 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. He restores his fellowship to God. Look what he says. Let us search and try our ways. Wait a minute. I thought your problem was the struggle of the enemy coming after you. I thought your problem was the Babylonians. I thought your problems were the kings that were coming to take you captive. I thought that was the problem. But here he says in verse number 40, Lord, search our ways, search our hearts, and let us turn to you. And again, the problem didn't go away right away, but it sure changed him in what he did. It restores his fellowship, so you return humbly. Verse number 55, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. So he says he restores fellowship. How? He reviews the current situation. He returns to a right relationship with the Lord. And he rejoices in the fact that the Lord will do something, not that he has done something. And so we come to understand. Imagine if we did all of that. Imagine if we did all of this. What that would do in your relationships. Think what that attitude change would do in your marriage. Think about what it would do in your career, on your job. You wouldn't walk around like you're dying every minute thinking, hey, thank God for His grace. Your health might be affected. Your emotional, your physical, certainly your spiritual. The decisions that you make. All of those things would be able to be affected. Not because things are going well. Not because you got your way about things. Here's what I want. I want this and I will be happy. Let me tell you something. The more emphasis you put on something or someone to be your source of contentment and happiness, the greater your chance of being disappointed in this world. You start depending on somebody else to make you happy. You start depending on something. You need a car. You need a house. You need golf clubs. No, that's okay. If you have, you know, if you need all this other stuff, see, if you don't get them, then your life is a bust. It's just, Lord, here I am. You do in me, with me, what you want done. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the kindness of the pastor. Thank you for the church. He's been so gracious to me, to my family, through many, many years. But most importantly today, Father, maybe there's some in our fellowship here today. They're going through a storm. We've sung about it all day. I don't think everybody missed you. I don't think every one of us missed you for your purpose for this day. I believe you directed it. So maybe there's somebody that'll say, Father, I want to come. I want to kneel. I'm not going to try to strike a deal with you. I'm going to see if I can learn to start trusting you a little more confidently. I can learn to wait a little more. That I'll be able to walk with you a little more sincerely. That I'll be able to stand more faithfully in the face of this crazy world. And that when I catch myself drifting and walking away, that I can return humbly, quickly. See, there's just times you're going to be overwhelmed. You're just going to be. There's going to be times you're not going to know what to do. There's going to be times you're going to feel like you are forgotten by those that you thought would always stand with you. There's always going to be lessons to be learned. People are watching. Your testimony is very obvious. You have to guard against emotional and impulsive decisions. Run from them like the plague. But always remember this. This could be the start of something greater in your walk with God. Would you stand with us? Father, as we now turn back to you, I pray the Holy Spirit would touch the hearts while we sing a verse of a song, the pastor comes. Touch those. Help us to be able to be sensitive to those things in this world that are luring us away. Give us that which we need to stand true, stand faithful. And we look to you. When the problems come, when the enemy attacks, when the world assaults us, when the flesh begins to erode our confidence, this I recall. Your mercies, your compassion, they're fresh, they're new every day. And I join with the writer saying, absolutely great is your faithfulness. While we sing, amen. You just obey the Holy Spirit.